Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks / Canadians, your favorite podcast of the two tankiest tanks that ever tanked. And today we're going to be talking about the Sharks Canadians and how one team is officially out of the Bedard sweepstakes. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked On Sharks / Canadians.
Your Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin, RIP, in San Jose Hockey Now. And with me, Laura, Lauren, Lori, Lorette, Lizzy,
Saba, Loretta.
Loretta, yes. Locked On Canadians. How's it going, Laura?
It's good. I'm so happy that it is quite late. But you know what? I could not pass up an opportunity to be on the most listened to podcast in the state of New Jersey. So here I am breaking down the San Jose Sharks game with you. It is a tank battle. And, you know, I'm always here.
Victorious. Yes.
Right. And I don't think it was my team. That's the thing.
It was not. Before we get into today's episode, do want to let you guys know that it is brought to you guys by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right. So the Habs defeat the mighty, mighty San Jose Sharks 3-1. This was the first game for the Sharks officially without Timo Meier. He hadn't played the last couple games with a quote unquote upper body injury. But the
that
Sharks
magically went away now.
That magically went away, and I'm sure he'll be ready to go for the when the Devils play the Avs here, whenever that is. But the Sharks showed they look like a team that could kind of possess the puck and then just had nobody could finish. And that was kind of the story of the game. Because if you look at like the numbers and all that, this game, it looked like the Sharks should have run away with this game. But I mean, what were your thoughts watching it?
Well, honestly, I thought there were the Sharks shot themselves in the foot, right? Like the Canadians scored on two breakaways, right? Two of them were breakaways. And yes. And there were a lot of penalties. And some of the penalties just looked really unnecessary and ridiculous. I think when two bad teams play, often this is what you end up with, is like, yes, there's a whole lot of nothing, or there's a whole lot of really silly penalties, or there's just like, there's mistakes. And if you look at the Canadiens players, right, like it was Nick Suzuki that capitalized on a mistake. It was Caden Gooley, Jussi Ylönen. Like, it's all these guys that this is the only way the Canadiens were winning at the beginning of the season when they came out of the gate with a lot of wins, was they were able to be really smart and opportunistic. So I'm looking at the stats and it looks way lopsided in favor of San Jose. Like, way, you know what I mean? So it is, it does. And ironically, the period that the Canadians played the best was the one where San Jose scored the goal. So it was, yeah, I think it's not unexpected. What I do think though, is that at this point, the Canadians are, they're winning games just, They're basically just showing up to games, and then the other team, the way the other team plays dictates how, whether or not the Canadians win, right? Like whether like you make one mistake and they burn you. That's essentially like, if you look at the last few games from the Canadians too, that's essentially what's happening. Or they're the ones that make the mistake, and then like let's say they go up against the Ottawa Senators and then they squander. And you know, like I get really frustrated when things like that happen. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest frustration for Canadians fans now is that they have too many wins.
oh, believe me, I have 1,000%. I've been tracking that. Our friend Armando at Florida Locked On Panthers asks, like, how many times I check Tankathon a day, and I'm told it's like a dozen times a day. Like, I am constantly on Tankathon, just, you know, first thing in the morning, checking it throughout the games throughout the day. Like, yes, I'm on Tankathon all day long. But, you know, you mentioned the Sharks, like, their mistakes, and that's kind of been the story of the Sharks season, right, is any mistake becomes catastrophic, right? And beginning of the season, like a little mistake and you wouldn't get the goaltending. And you've seen Kaapo Kähkönen really kind of come on here since right before the All-Star break. And I thought Kapokakinen was stellar tonight. For the most part, he probably wants the goalie goal back. But, I mean, there was a lot of traffic in front of him. But he made some great saves tonight. He's really kind of played well, especially with a lot of changing pieces in front of him. But we've seen this constantly with the Sharks all season, where it's one little mistake, a guy pinches at the wrong time, a bad turnover. You know, even the goalie goal, right, was Nick Bonino made a great play to cause the turnover, and the goal, the puck just kind of went to goalie, who was all by himself, and then it goes in the back of the net. And that has been the story of the Sharks season. And I'm hoping that it's, you know, all this pain and suffering leads to a beautiful, beautiful thing here in June. So that's the hope, at least anyway. But yeah, I mean, I've seen this for 60 some odd games now of, anytime any little mistake that the Sharks do, they can play really, really well for a while and for good chunks, and they can play with teams for good chunks of time, but they can't finish. And then any mistake, like I said, is just it's catastrophic for them.
I think it's kind of a characteristic of all teams that are sort of bottom feeder teams. I mean, it's mean. It's mean for me to say that, but that's exactly like that's how I felt about the Canadiens.
You
for the
sit up
time
there in
like,
your seventh spot throne, looking down at us.
Looking down, but I mean, it's the same thing with the Canadiens too. Like you look at all the Canadiens teams that felt hopeless in the past, and you're like, they can't finish. They don't have anybody to score. And they also can't keep the puck out of the net unless Carey Price is playing, right? So mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's evened out is that Samuel Montembeau this season has played really well. Honestly, like truly objectively, I'm not saying he's an elite goaltender, best in the world, like Vasilevsky quality, but I think that he's played really great all season. And so that's one aspect of the Canadian season that's been different. And obviously Jake Allen tonight, I saw a tweet that was like, Jake Allen, don't allow the first goal in a game challenge. And I thought that was so mean and so accurate. But the other thing too is that
he battled tonight. I was impressed with
he
him.
Worked hard.
You know, because like he had a lot of opportunities where he could have given up, and he got bailed out a couple times because the Sharks couldn't finish. But like, you know, he battled tonight, and that's all you can ask for some nights, is just battle and stay in the game.
Exactly. And so like, and in terms of finishing, again, Cole Caulfield is injured. So like, you know, that has made a difference. And that was the difference earlier in the season, the first half of the season, where the Canadiens kind of dragged themselves out of the Bedard sweepstakes really early. But I think that's exactly it, is that Jake Allen this season, he's had a little bit of trouble with puck tracking. And so this game, he had people help him out, and San Jose missed a couple of opportunities, right? So, like, that was basically the story of the game. But if you look at both of these teams, 3 years from now, we're going to be watching completely different teams and having a completely different conversation about both these teams.
I mean, beat writer Curtis Pichelka put out a tweet, like, after Hurdle signed his extension last year, you know, it was right before almost a year ago, you know, right before the trade deadline. There's eight guys left on the Sharks from that time that he's playing, you know, like eight guys.
One year, like eight guys
who are playing, like playing that next game that were here, you know, playing this game. It's pretty crazy just how far each, and this is just the beginning for a team that's going to be in a lot of transition in the Sharks. So, both of our teams had some debuts. Before we get into that, we want to talk about debuts and guys who are making returns after much, much long, long time. So before we do get into that, do want to talk to you guys about our friends over at Indeed. If you're hiring, and you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find qualified applicants that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process, find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of qualified candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description and can invite them to apply right away. Plus, you only pay for qualified applications that meet your must-have requirements. So, starting hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/lockedon. Offer valid March through March 31st. So you guys still have a little bit of time here. You got about a month. So go to Indeed.com/lockedon to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. And when you guys are done finding a new job or host looking for a new job, make sure you guys check out the NHL trade deadline. That is March 3rd. Join us live at the Locked On NHL YouTube channel from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, where we'll talk for 45 minutes about Nick Bonino being traded because nobody else is going to be available. So as a Locked On NHL host, break down the biggest deals from across the league, Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Laura, very unprofessional, stepping over my ad read there with your laughing about Nick Bonino. Seriously, we'll get to the trade deadline here in a minute, but we'll start with, who do you want to talk about? What's your debuts?
Oh, right. So Caden Gooley returning after a long injury that we thought might even last all season with a goal. I think he looked great. He seemed in the last couple of practices and things like that, he seemed like he was desperate to get back to the game. I love that enthusiasm. Love that he had such a good game, first game back. As most people in the Habs community will attest to, he has been kind of a revelation. I don't think he was overhyped at the time that he made the Canadiens. I think he was probably underhyped when he was drafted, but at the same time, when he was drafted, we weren't expecting what we ended up getting, which is a little bit more offensive skills, smarts, and all of that. And I think that he has the talent. And he has the work ethic to be a number one defenseman. There's just some finer points of his game that he needs to improve. Mm-hmm. So to me, as a Canadiens fan, Gooley's been a bright spot. And I loved seeing him score that goal. And then you saw all his teammates were happy for him. And, you know, obviously the Sharks would like that one back. I believe it was Erik Karlsson that on that goal. Right? Or was it the Lennon goal?
That was the Nick Bonino turnover goal where he stripped the puck and it just went right to goalie. So yes.
Exactly. So yep. So he was definitely it was good to see him return. And the newest player on the Habs that they got for Evgeny Dadonov, who's Denis Gurianov. I thought, no goals, no assists, but I thought the game like he played was great. I thought
yeah, like 1,000 shots.
Yeah, it was kind of like a microcosm actually of his season in Dallas so far. We talked when he was picked up that this is a reclamation project. He's not scoring a lot of points. His game has fallen off a cliff, but his luck is terrible right now. It is literally in the toilet. His luck is totally in the toilet. But like, you're looking at the underlying numbers and you're looking at his shot totals. There was a really good play. I think it was towards the middle of the second period. I was really impressed with him when it was the 4-on-4. The opportunities were there and you could see him making an effort to really seize those opportunities. The finish just wasn't there. And his shooting percentage has been terribly unlucky this season, but I was pleased for a first game on a new team with, he had just arrived, right? Very little time to like even acclimate with his teammates. Like there were handshakes and stuff like that. I thought, that was a really good first game for the newest Canadian.
Yeah, I mean, and the Sharks had two new guys playing with their first games. Fabian Zetterlund and then Andreas Johnsson. Both of them got to play with Tomas Hertl. That was the line, was Hertl with those two guys. And I don't really care about Andreas Johnsson. He's a salary dump, and he probably won't be on the team come next year. So he's an NHL player, as Mike Greer said. So, Zetterlund, he is more of the interesting player for the Sharks. And, you could kind of see some of it. You could see how strong he was. He got into a kind of a foot race / board battle with a Canadiens player and basically just threw him down. It was like, I'm much bigger than you and there's nothing you can do about it. He's made a nice little play with Erik Karlsson where he had a good chance in front of the net. And, Erik Karlsson, no matter where you're at, you have to be ready with Erik Karlsson when he's on the ice because he will find you and he will get the puck to you and he will get the puck to you before you even realize the puck is coming to you. So that'll take some time just playing with Erik Karlsson because, Dougie Hamilton's a good defenseman, but Erik Karlsson's in his own stratosphere right now. Please, Devils fans, I don't need you clipping this and me. Yes, but Erik Karlsson, he's really good. Get that stuff will just come with just playing and practicing with these guys, right? They showed up on late Monday afternoon, and then it's like you have to come in and play a game on Tuesday. Dakota apparently does not agree, but she's popping in right now if you're watching on YouTube. But, like, you know, I you can kind of see it there. I still don't know what the Sharks are going to be getting from him other than, you know, the Sharks have a lot of these, like, bottom six, middle six type of guys, and I think he's just going to be one of those bottom six, middle six type of guys for the Sharks for a couple of years and, you know, see what happens with him. So, like I said, Andreas Johnsson, he was fine. You know exactly what you're getting. He's going to do all the little stuff coaches like. And
he's a guy.
He's a guy. The Sharks have 1,000 of those guys. Like, he's a guy type of thing. And so, but anybody else kind of stick out for you tonight that you were impressed with? Doesn't have to be a new guy or anybody that you, any, just any other players you want to talk about. So
honestly, I was thinking about it just now and I was like, yes, he's had a good game, obviously scoring that goal. Nick Suzuki has put together a pair of good games, in my opinion. I think that there might be some disagreement about the San Jose game, but the last couple of games, like, he really, I think he's been overused and overworked because everybody else is injured. And it's just kind of like the nature of that, like, you know, in any workplace, like, if you overperform, you get more and more dumped on you. And so Martin St. Louis, like, get out there. And then it's like, you know, 5 seconds later, it's like, get out there. Oh, new situation. Nick Suzuki out there. So
You're going to have to take on their work as well, too.
There you go. And also, he had two different line mates the last game. And then now, you know, so I think that he's been doing a really good job of just kind of stepping up. So I always have praise for him. And again, Jake Allen, we talked about how he's having a rough season, but there were a couple of good saves from him tonight. Like, I think what he was doing is he was battling through his shortcomings tonight. So I think we do need to kind of mention that. What about you on the San Jose side?
AC Mott, we'll see, because he's been kind of I don't think he had a good game tonight. He got benched, actually, for part of this game, took two bad penalties. The penalties tonight were a little weird. You know, there was, like, two of the Sharks penalties were, like, the player, like, the Habs player kind of dropped their stick, but, like, the Sharks player is also hitting at the same time. And it's like, you know, if one referee probably calls out, another referee doesn't call it type of thing. But, like, AC Mott, who's been kind of, since he's got picked up from Winnipeg, he's been playing on that line with Couture and Barabanov, and that's actually kind of been the Sharks' best line recently. But got put in the doghouse tonight for, I think, his two bad penalties. And then Noah Gregor go burr, but doesn't actually score. He played up there with Couture and Barabanov. But again, it's just, like I mentioned earlier, right, the Sharks just don't have anybody that you're scared of kind of getting loose and scoring on them. And, like, all their goals, I think, are going to have to be really hard, ugly, working goals type of situations. So, yeah, it's really great if you're a team that is trying to lose a bunch of games here going down the stretch. So let's put a bow on this. And let's talk about the trade deadline, which has been fast and furious. But before we do that, Laura, Lauren, Lori, Lobby, I have no, I'm running out of nicknames for you.
Libby,
that's a good one. Let's take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our friends over at FanDuel. If you guys don't know, FanDuel is the perfect time to download FanDuel, especially now that we're past the midway point in the NBA season. We've got NBA playoffs here. We're going to have NHL playoffs coming up really soon. Neither one of our teams are going to be playing in the NHL playoffs, but it's perfect time to download the FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 as bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sports app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores to threes drained. I really like the 2x3, 2 3-pointers scored in the first 3 minutes of a basketball game. It's quick, it's easy, it's fun. You're rooting for points. If you don't like to root for points, I don't know why are you even betting? So yeah, go check out that one, the 2x3. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook betting partner of the NBA. All right, this trade deadline's kind of been crazy because we haven't seen like a so many big names, I think, moved this early. Like, Friday's going to be kind of boring. We'll start here because we both were laughing at this. During the Sharks game, the Jonathan Quick, longtime friend of San Jose, getting traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets and quickly filling up his diaper when he finds out he has to go to Columbus. My favorite part about this is he has to ride the plane back to LA and then get back on a plane to go to Columbus. That's great. Jonathan Quick going to Columbus.
It's honestly, there's so many fun things about it. They're like being in Winnipeg, first of all, and the trade deadline is so weird sometimes because, you know, we saw there's this video somebody put up of the Leafs saying goodbye to Sandin and Engvall or, you know, and they were in Seattle or something like that. So you could be anywhere and get picked up off of waivers or, you know, get traded. And so it was super weird. And then we were just kind of okay, I think we're done for the day. There were so many names that moved, Puljujarvi, right? That was a big question mark for a long time. Patrick Kane, that was a saga that took way too long. And there was way too much drama for how boring it ended up being. You know, there's a lot. And it kind of at the end of the day, and it was, I think it was the RDS broadcast that was well, the trade's kind of in the works, but it won't be done before the morning because everyone's gone home. It's way too late for this trade to be officially completed. And then we saw that Jonathan Quick was not, quote unquote, not happy. I love not happy. It's you can tell he probably kicked something, threw something at a wall. He's through,
yes,
yep. Maybe punched a teammate. Maybe he vandalized
he's
the locker.
He's when my youngest one, when he's at the store and you tell me it's not allowed to get a toy, and he just kind of flops on the floor in the store and just, I don't want to go. Yeah, that, I assume that's just Jonathan
that's
Quick
getting exactly on the plane. But with goalie pads on.
But with the goalie pads, yeah, full goalie pads. I don't want to do it. Just yes. He won't even get changed. He's just going to, they're going to have to bring him on the plane full goalie gear. He'll have the bottom, the pads on the bottom, but he'll be just in the shirt, you know, because they were trying to drag him and that's just came flying off. You know, there's just somebody's going to have to be picking up all this litter of just goalie gear
as he's getting stuff. And tears.
And then tears, yeah.
So. But the best part of this is that often requoted and tweeted tweet from the LA Kings when they re-signed John
11 years,
for 10 years.
Yep.
In I think it was 2012. So he had a year left of his contract, and then they added 10 years or whatever. Yep. And they're that's 10 years beyond this one that our goalie is going to be better than your goalie. And then immediately other goalies were better than him the following season. And now it's they can't even say that. I mean, I guess they can technically say that now because they have a different goalie than Jonathan Quick. So their goalie is better than Columbus' our goalie.
This is just so much to just tag the Blue Jackets in it.
It's just so everything about this, I know bigger moves happen, but for whatever reason, this one is the one that is giving me the most delight.
It's so great. It's so great. I am Jonathan Quick. Stole two cups. He stole a series from the Sharks. I will never, the reverse sweep. Jonathan Quick. What's been your kind of, I mean, I know the Habs have been pretty quiet. I think they'll be a little bit more active, kind of waiting for all the big pieces to move. And I think they'll be active on Friday, kind of moving some guys out. Same with the Sharks here, especially after the Timo Meier was traded. What's been your kind of underrated or your kind of favorite move so far just of the trade deadline in whole? So
I really love how Julianne Breezeball woke up one morning and was like, I am going to make a gigantic mess of the trade market and I am going to give away 5 picks for some guy. Essentially, he's just some guy. Right? Yes, I understand that has a little bit of value, but he literally was looking at all these trades. He was looking at you know, somebody going for future considerations. And he's like, here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to raise the price on every free agent. They're not free agent. Every possible trade. What do you call it? Trade chip there is in the NHL. And I'm going to make sure that I go bold because he's going to be it's going to be look, I'm mortgaging my future for this year for a Stanley Cup. Kyle Dubas, you're up. It was just, I loved it. Cause No, everybody knows that that is a massive overpay. That is like, it's, and it's not like he's too smart of a GM to not be thinking about like the other implications. He's not just improving his own team, which again, that was a good move for his team, even if it wasn't
a bit of an good overpay. Move. Yeah, that's a good, but
great,
yeah, that's a
great
lot.
Player to add to your, you know, to your current roster. But just the fact that he was like, I'm going to see what I can do to, like, you know, my rivals in the division, like all of that. I thought it was so funny, and it made Dubas go bold. And so for me, I'm looking at Toronto making these moves. And I'm like, I really want to see a first round exit now, because like, if you look at like the moves that they've made, they've really gone for it. Right. And they keep talking about like, forget about the future. Like, this is it. We're going all in. And I'm like, I don't want, because if they get past the first round, they're going to go all the way. And I don't want that. Right. Like, I want them to like not get swept, just lose. Like,
you have to lose game seven. You have to continue to lose in game seven, as
just
it should
lose
be.
The game seven. Right. Yes. And so as a Canadiens fan, I'm like, you know, if I were a Toronto fan, I would love these moves. But as a Canadiens fan, I'm like, all of these moves plus a first round loss to me would be amazing.
Yes. Yes. The Tampa thing, I think he probably was like looking at the NBA where like they traded like these like five second round picks kept getting traded between teams. And he's like, I want that to happen. I just want five second round picks going around. My favorite thing so far though, in the trade deadline, is the Ekholm deal going to Edmonton, and the Preds have to retain 4%
of the salary. Like,
4%.
Who did the math on that? Like, who did the like? Literally, who sat down? Like, which capologist? Which team was like, okay, this is gonna work if the Preds retain 4%?
4% for the next. It's like 4 years too, 3 or 4 years. It's insane. 4%, because you can only retain three times, right? Is it three or four? Whatever it is. Yeah,
it's three. I found this out because of Denny Dodonov, right? So, like, it's three.
So, that is one of their, for a team that is starting, it looks like they're going to be starting the rebuild, you have 4%. You're retaining 4%, which is.
Like, what is the other team even saving on that? You know what I mean? Like, is it like, are they like so up against the cap that they need like 100,000 savings or something?
It's something, yeah. It's beautiful. What is, I should probably pull cap. I'm sure it's on cap friendly now. I'm pulling it up right now to see what the 4% is, because that is like, yeah. Like where did the negotiations start? That's my first question. Was it like,
you have to retain some salary? No.
Yeah.
No. Some. You have to retain some salary.
Absolutely. It's $250,000. That's the number. So $250,000 for the.
It's $250,000. It's not bad. But I think it's so funny that it's like, no, you have to retain some, not none. Some. You have to retain. And it's
10%. Nope. Can't do that. 5%.
7%.
4%.
Deal.
Throwing was like a sixth round, or some like late round pick too. Yeah, that's my favorite thing so far. I don't know how anybody was going to be able to beat that. The 4%. I was dying laughing when I saw that. So
it's so good. This is a fun trade deadline so far. As a Canadiens fan, it's been a little bit underwhelming because, you know, as we want everybody sold for as many picks as possible.
I'm right there. Yes.
But honestly, like, I'm looking at this from like everywhere, because like all of these teams that have made those massive moves for those big, big names, like not everybody's going to get to the Stanley Cup final or win it. So like,
or get like, out of the first round.
Yeah. it's so funny to me
that the East is ridiculous. Like, I like how the East Coast is like all the, you know, they're like, you know, stocking up and stuff like that. And the Western Conference is like, yeah, we're pretty chill. We'll figure it out. Somebody will,
they're like, somebody's going to win the conference.
Well, yeah, we'll get there, guys. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time. So, you know, but Friday morning, we'll wake up at like 10, have some coffee, kind of figure out who's left over and try to make a trade then.
Yeah. So, call Kent Hughes.
Yes, call Kent Hughes or call Mike Greer. Mike Greer will be up. So, Mike Greer will be up. Nick Bonino, come on down. Nick Bonino, James Reimer. You know, Jacob McDonald, who scored tonight, pumping that trade value. So,
yes.
All right, Lauren, Lori, Lobby, Lizzie, Lizzo, Lizard, the Lizard King, the Lizard Queen herself, Laura. Where can the people find you?
The people can find me. Our podcast is Locked On Canadians, available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on YouTube, just where you find this lovely Locked On Sharks podcast. On Twitter, you can find me at The Active Stick. You can find my co-host at Scott Matla. You can find us at LO_Canadians. And for my listeners, please send us mailbag questions to LockedOnCanadians@gmail.com.
Oh, look at you. Your mailbag. I haven't done a mailbag in a while. Wait until after the season. We'll do a nice Locked On Sharks mailbag. Because, yeah. You can find me on Twitter at MyFryHole. You can find the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. Listen, wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Amazon Music, Spotify. Watch on YouTube as well. And if you want to get caught up with everything that's going on around the NHL, make sure you guys go check out the Game to Game podcast. So thank you guys for making Locked On Sharks / Locked On Canadians your first listen. Now go check out the Game to Game. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NHL with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NHL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. And until tomorrow, bye, friends.